If you would, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Beginning in verse 42, this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking about His return. And in Matthew chapter 24, we picked it up in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will lead us to the cross this morning. Lord, because there is a false gospel, Lord, that has no cross, no shedding of blood, and no discipleship for its followers. So God, we ask that we, as Cooper Baptist Church, Lord, will be people of the cross, Lord, disciples of yours, and in leading others to you and your cross for the redemption of sin. Lord, I pray as families, Lord, that we will look, Lord, to you for eternity, that as families, Lord, we can know for sure that we will be together for all eternity. And you will receive all glory forever and ever, Lord Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is speaking of his return and how you and I are to be faithful servants, servants in our homes and in our church home, and servants of leading others to him, and servants of serving him and in his kingdom. You see, we are to be faithful and committed, and we are to persevere in the faith. We studied Hebrews chapter 12 last Wednesday night, and how as His children, how He chastises us and brings us and cares for us and loves us so much that He will keep us on the narrow path. Now, if you're not on the narrow path and following Him and taking up your cross and following Him daily, and if you don't belong to Him, then He won't chastise you as a dear child of His. But we, as God's people, are to be faithful and make sure that we are following the author and completer, the finisher of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, who took the cross and shed His last blood so that we can have forgiveness of sins. And you know what? If you don't have Jesus and His cross, you're not a Christian. No way do you know God. It's only through Jesus Christ and His shed blood do we know God. And we're called little Christ because we're following Jesus Christ. So being faithful in how families can know that they know that they will be together for all eternity, that we have a heavenly home, you see. I'm very grateful for the home that Alicia and I live in today. And just for a brief hour last night, we had all of our children there. And it was a great time together. It was very brief. And, you know, I was thinking as my children were there that someday we're going to be together for all eternity. It won't be a brief hour. It won't be just a quick thing that we had time to get together and visit, but it'll be for all eternity because my children know Jesus Christ. And we're going to be at home for all eternity in our heavenly home together someday because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, there is a heaven and there is a hell, folks. The Scriptures plainly tells us that there is a heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and He's going to come back, He says. He says, I will come again. So there is a heaven. It's a place that Jesus has gone to prepare. It's a heavenly bliss. It'll last for all eternity. There will be a new heaven and a new earth someday. And Jesus has gone to prepare this place for you and I. And the Scripture tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And wherever the Lord is, that's going to be heaven for me. You see, one great thing to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord is our loved ones is not out there in that cemetery. They're not there. When I go to the cemetery, I go looking at history. I love going looking at my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and my great-great-grandparents, and so forth, because that is a history of a community, and yet I know that they are Christians because of their witness and testimony down through the years. But they're not there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. So those who are in Christ Jesus, when they die, when this flesh dies, they are ushered in into the presence of the Lord. The innocent who knew not sin are the mental people who do not know right from wrong. They are present with the Lord Jesus when the flesh dies. But the good news is, someday those bodies are going to resurrect too. They won't be little children. They won't be 90-year-old adults. But we're going to have a new glorified body someday. Amen? And it won't know disease or sickness anymore. And that Jesus, the Lord's going to wipe away our tears and we're going to walk with Him someday hand in hand. Folks, that's heaven. There is a heaven. And the good news is your family can be there together. Maybe your daddy or mother or your ancestors knew not Christ, but you can start today. Your family can start today. Amen? There is a heaven. Jesus said it was. I believe what Jesus said. There's a hell. This is a very serious matter. Hell is no joke, and it is a real place. You can type in sounds of hell on YouTube and just listen for just a little bit. It'll make your skin crawl. But hell is a real place. How do I know? Because Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. And He spoke more about hell than He did about heaven because He does not want you to go there. He don't want you to go there so much that He died on a cruel cross so that you don't have to go. But if you go, it's because you have trampled upon the sacrifice of Jesus and you have said you can make it some other way besides the shed blood of Jesus. See, you go to hell yourself. Because you refuse Jesus. Hell is a place of eternal torment. It is a place where there is no love of God. It's a real place. Jesus speaks about hell in a story about a rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And then Lazarus died, a poor man, and he was in Abraham's bosom. And Jesus tells a story about a great gulf in between them. See, hell is a place of torment. Our passage says that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It says that in verse 51. It's a real place. And Jesus does not want you to go there. It is a place prepared for the devil and his followers. And in eternity, hell will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. It's a real place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for a child of God. And to be absent from the body is to be in hell, as the rich man was in the story Jesus told about hell. You don't want to go there. You don't want your children to go there. You don't want your grandchildren to go there. So be a witness to them. Be a witness to them. Live a Christ-like life the best you can with God's help before them, because there is a heaven and there is a hell. Now you and your family members will each be in one of these places. And when you go to one of these places, it'll be for all eternity. There will not be some second chance that cults will teach you. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, there's a judgment. There's no second chances. Read it in Revelation. There are no second chances. You'll be there for all eternity, and you will be there in one of these places. Your wife or husband will be there. Your children will be in one of these places, and it'll be for all eternity. In heaven and on the new earth, there'll be an eternal heaven that the Bible says that eye has not seen or ear has heard. It's going to be miraculous and marvelous for us in heaven. You cannot take nothing with you when you die either, can you? You've heard stories that there's no U-Hauls in the funeral procession. Can't take nothing with you, but you know what you can do? If you have children, you can raise them to love the Lord Jesus the best you can. You can take your children with you if they receive Christ. Amen. You can take your family with you. You can't take possessions or all your toys and all that, but you can take your family by telling them about Jesus. But you and your family members will be in one of these two places, and it'll be for all eternity. All eternity. And you do not know what tomorrow holds. The passage of Scripture that I read this whole chapter is about the Lord's return. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And you see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. First of all, we don't know what the next 10 minutes holds. Hopefully we'll have an invitation, and hopefully people respond to the message, get right with God through Jesus Christ, and then we'll go home, eat a good meal. That's what we hope to happen, right? But we don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible says that life is a vapor. It's like on a cold morning where you blow your air out of your mouth and you see this mist, and then it's gone like that. And that's what life is like compared to eternity. You do not know what tomorrow holds. Do not put all salvation today for tomorrow, because today is the day of salvation. Today you have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because you do not know what tomorrow holds. You don't know how many days of your life that you have. You do not hold the days of your life in your hand. They're in God's hands. You don't know what tomorrow holds because Jesus could come back. He describes it, it'll be like a thief in the night. And if you knew when a thief was coming to your house, you would protect your house. You would protect your wife, sir. You would protect your children, parents. If you knew someone was fixing to come and enter your house without permission. And a wise and faithful servant will be prepared when Jesus comes back. But an unfaithful servant will not be prepared. And they will be doing worldly things. Please do not let even somebody who comes to church, do not let them take you to the world. I don't care if they're here every Sunday. Do not go carousing around. Don't go the way of the world. Be faithful. Persevere in the faith. Because there are wheat and tares in the church. You stay faithful to the Lord Jesus. Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You be a faithful servant and not an evil servant. Because you don't know when Jesus is coming back. But you and your family can be prepared. I believe we're in the last days, for sure. I don't know exactly when Jesus is coming back. I wouldn't dare say that, but I believe that Jesus could come back today. How can I say that? Because of the apostasy in the church. That's why I can say it. Whenever someone says that doctrines of demons is Christianity, that's apostasy. Because Jesus is the only way. The only life and the only truth. And if you hold to doctrines of demons instead of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that's apostasy. And it's in the church. So Jesus could come back today. If He came back at this very moment, would you go? Or would we have church like usual? Jesus came back this very second. Would you and your family be taken up? We don't know what the next minute holds. Look in Luke chapter 17. This is the same teaching as we're in Matthew chapter 24. But the Luke's gospel, Jesus said, in Luke chapter 17, verse 34, beginning verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there will be two people in one bed. Sounds like a husband and wife. Two people in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding corn together. The one will be taken, the other left. Sounds like a mother and a daughter working in the kitchen together. Two men, sounds like a father and a son. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. You and your family ready? About your loved one that maybe you're married to and you spent years together. You going to be taken up together? Or one of y'all going to stay? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You quit holding to tradition of men and hold to Jesus Christ. So you'll know that you know. See, you and your family can be ready. That's the good news. Everyone say good news. There's good news. You can be ready. The word gospel means good news. You can be like the demoniac in Sunday school lesson, where he hung out at the cemetery and around death and did ungodly things to himself and scared others. Or you can be ready. You can know Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven of your sins and know that you're ready. You can be a faithful servant, child of God. You can do it with God's help. I have three examples, then I'll close. One example is a man who was not ready. A man that his sin affected himself, his family, and a whole nation. His name was Achan. When the children of Israel, after they wandered around in the wilderness and they was going into the promised land, Joshua was the leader. God told them not to take nothing. Nothing from Jericho. In other words, don't take stuff from the world and add it to faith in God and call it God's work. Or the faith in God. Don't take from the world. And yet Achan, he said that I coveted the silver. I coveted it, which is a lawful desire, an unlawful want. It's something that a desire of the world. And Achan took that silver and hid it in the ground in his tent. God knew about it. Joshua had the tribes pass by and then by family, and it came down to Achan. Then Achan confessed after he was caught. Like Esau, when he realized the blessing's gone, he sought it in tears but didn't get it. And Achan and his family was stoned to death. Achan and his family. What Achan did affected his family. He coveted the world, and it affected his entire family. They all died. Second example I have is Noah. Everyone knows the story of Noah. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 about Noah that he was warned of God, and Noah moved with godly fear to the saving of his household. In other words, Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives were saved from the wrath of God. They were saved. Because Noah heard what God said and he believed it by faith and he acted upon it. He and his household was saved. So he was ready for the judgment of God. Third example. In the New Testament, the Philippian jailer, he heard Paul and Silas singing hymns and at midnight after they were beaten and in the innermost prison, an earthquake happened. They did not flee because the presence of God was among Paul and Silas and among those prisoners. In the innermost part of that prison where the hardened criminals were, but the presence of God was there, so they did not want to leave it. The Philippian jailer was fixing to kill himself because if someone escaped under his watch, he was going to be killed anyway. Paul said, don't do yourself harm. We're all here. And he goes in and says, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, you believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized. You know what happened? This Philippian jailer brings them to his house. And his whole household believed in Jesus and were baptized. What an example. That's a leader of a home repenting, turning to Christ, and it affected his entire family. Man or woman can do that. See, you and your family can be ready. Are you ready? Is your family ready? Because Jesus could come back. I don't know when, but he could come back today. Amen? Come, Lord Jesus, come. What must I do? He said, the Philippian jailer. Rebecca, my youngest sung the song, "Lead Me to the Cross." You and your family can go to the cross of Jesus Christ and be made right with God. Or you can lead your family away from the cross. It's your choice. There's salvation and eternity in heaven with the cross of Jesus. Without the cross, there's a hell. There is a hell. No second chances. It's your choice now. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly cannot save ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit of God to touch our hearts. So God, we ask through your word, Lord, and may your Holy Spirit touch hearts. Lord, may we be led to the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and believe and receive His shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Because there is a death penalty for sin. Thank you, Jesus, for taking that penalty for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can know for certain, that we can have eternity together and with you. And Lord, have a relationship with you here. So we give you praise, and Lord, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in the hearts and lives to this morning for your glory, Jesus. Amen.